We thank you, Father. We can pray for these many requests, very much needed. We thank that people have asked us to pray for them. We pray that their subjects and needs will be met by thee, and regardless of whether they've been met or not, may they be comfortable in the status that they are. For genuine Christians, give them peace and grace in the midst of these turmoils and difficulties. They've asked for prayer, and may they have that peace that passes all understanding. They may know that thou dost care for them, and thou dost love them, even though they are in serious troubles. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know we're not on our materials here. Well, one thing to mention, I forgot to mention earlier.
Go ahead.
About the new class tomorrow.
All right.
We'll class tomorrow.
No class tomorrow, 3 o'clock.
We're going to resume it on the
following Friday. Okay. Those that are here, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, be verses 11 and following. Those listening by the internet, we want to welcome you. Encourage us and give us questions if you have any comments. Glad to have you with us tonight. If you're wanting to call us, give us a call at 856-261-9018. Email questions at dftdc.org. Before we take Ephesians 2, 11 and following, let's just read the preceding three verses as a background for verse 11. Get it together. Verse 8, 9, and 10. Chapter 2 of Ephesians 8, 9, and 10.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, and which we should walk in them.
So verse 11 starts out with a wherefore, because of all that thing. Let's read 11, 12, and 13 together.
Wherefore remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
And verse 11, now wherefore goes back to what? Wherefore, it ends on that. Preceding verses that we read from verses 8, 9, and 10. Wherefore, because of the grace of God, because of being saved by grace, not of works. Wherefore, remember what was true of them, these Gentile Ephesians, before they came to Christ. But remember in verse 11. What were they prior to that? Was it?
They were dead in trespasses.
They were being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. And what? Who called them what?
Well, even in verse 1,
they
were dead.
In verse 1, that's true. And in verse number 11, who is it that called these Gentiles and what did they call them? It hangs on that.
Well, the Jews called them the uncircumcision.
And that was called the circumcision. And so there were two groups. What are the two groups missing?
Circumcised and the uncircumcised.
Circumcised are Jews and Gentiles. So two different groups. Then in verse 12, at that time, who's the ye referred to here? Who's the ye? Any hands on that? Who's the ye? In verse 12. Yes.
Verse 12 or 11?
He was first.
Verse 11. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Antoinette.
Go ahead.
Okay. Gentiles.
Okay. Rob? Ron?
John? Ye referring to Gentiles that are now born again.
Okay. But in time past, what was true of them?
They were in the flesh.
In the flesh. Pastor Dan.
In the immediate context, the text was the church talking to the saints at the church of Ephesus.
All right. The church of Ephesus, and the people there were in the flesh, and before they were saved, at that time, without Christ. Now, what else is true of them in verse 12? First of all, what does a without Christ mean?
Away from God.
What's that?
Away from God and ungodly things.
Away from God, but without salvation, without the Lord Jesus Christ.
Without the law, without the covenants.
Not born again. Without Christ, that's very important in verse 12. Not born again, not genuinely saved. What else were they called?
Yes. Aliens.
What's an alien?
Somebody that's not part of...
Somebody that's there legally, not lawfully there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, an alien is a precedent.
Something doesn't belong.
Yeah,
all right. Now, what is the government doing with many, many thousands of aliens?
They're letting them come in.
And they're
over a sanctuary state here in the state of New Jersey.
And also making them come in legally and pay all their bills.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security, medical, the whole thing.
Free tuition, college tuition.
For a senior, they're making them all. Just these. Okay, Ken.
Yeah, they're providing all sorts of financial services and
yes.
and support to them that regular citizens don't get.
Oh, yeah, that's
often.
Right. Often. Exactly.
And this is happening for political reasons.
Political reasons. Because what is true of these aliens coming in here without anything at all? What's true about them? What are they going to vote? Who are they going to vote for in the election when they get to the point where they're going to vote?
I got it.
They're going to vote for who's ever... giving them all this free, you know, lunch.
Yes, so speak,
right.
They're going to vote for the liberal Democrats.
The liberal socialist, communist Democrats. They're going to vote. What will that do as a result of that election? That what's it going to be? They're going to vote for their own party. And
the Democratic Party will be more numerous in votes.
More numerous. We'll have one party, not two. Just one. Every election. And it's a sad thing what's going to happen.
One majority and one minority.
One majority, one minority.
Yeah. The glory to God. They should go out and teach and preach the word of God. Hopefully, you know,
yes.
There will be conservatives in the Republican
right.
Party, so we can fight against that donkey.
Yes, Peter?
there are a lot of good working people that come out of this country, but also there are some not so good people, but we have to pray for them as well, and
that's
we also
right.
have to realize that, as we said earlier, our government is in confusion, and we pray that that stabilizes in every way.
Yes.
So that we can keep everything.
Yes. Now, one thing I read recently, the illegals coming in, the aliens coming into our country,
mm-hmm.
not properly, they come in probably fine by the rules. Those coming in properly. They said these articles, not only just normal ones, but criminals coming in and completely exonerated for all their crimes. Horrible. So, but anything at all, so we're in serious trouble with the country on this, but back at the first call, we were without Christ being aliens. Aliens from what? Aliens from what?
The Commonwealth of Israel.
With the Commonwealth of Israel. And what else was true? What other name is called? Has an answer for that?
Strangers from the covenants of promise.
Strangers. Aliens, strangers without Christ. Said it. And that was true of these Ephesians, mm-hmm. Gentile Christians, and covenants of promise. What is true of the last part of verse 12? Yes, Antoinette?
They have no hope and without God in the world.
Having no
hope. Without God, we have no hope.
Without Christ,
there is no
and hope. We have no hope. What was that hope refer back to in hands on it? What was that hope? Mm-hmm. Questions at vftdc.org or 856-261-9018. Let's hear from you have it. And then Antoinette.
Hope of eternal life.
Hope of eternal life?
Yeah.
That's
what I think. I was going to say hope of eternity.
Okay, eternity.
Our relationship with Christ.
The hope of being of salvation through Jesus Christ and looking for that resurrection.
All right. There's another hope, and what is that?
Blessed hope.
The blessed hope. What does that mean?
Rapture.
What is it?
The rapture.
Amen.
Catching away of all the genuine Christians from earth to heaven. Bodies transformed and be with eternity, the Lord forever. That's a blessed hope. So without any hope, in other words, if someone is hopeless, in this world and in their lives, where do the hopeless ones end up?
In hell.
In hell. Lake of fire, the hell. The eternal lake of fire, that's a serious situation. Do some people not realize that they're hopeless? Do some realize they're not hopeless? And some who do realize they're hopeless, if they don't trust Christ, do they change their faith? All of them?
No.
No, they don't care. Some don't believe that, see? The scriptures are clear. We believe there's no hope unless it's in Christ for eternal life. Let's say John 3:16. For
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Wonderful hope and the grace of God through Christ. And then in verse number 13, what does that first word mean? What part of speech is it? And what's the distinction? What part of speech is this? What's the word, first of all?
But.
What part of speech is it? Yeah. And
it's an adversative conjunction.
Adversative conjunction. And adversative means what?
Opposite.
Opposite, see? All these things were true, but, see, however, this is how it changed.
Like an adversary.
What is it?
Like an adversary.
Like an adversary, yeah. Did we read 13 yet?
Yes.
But now, in Christ Jesus, what's true?
You were sometimes far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So you're closer now. You're not far away. You're closer to Christ.
Yes. And made nigh, what does that made nigh mean?
Made not far away.
That's true. What else? That means there, but in the terms of their status, what does made nigh mean?
They're saved.
Near and salvation is there, see? Not simply a little bit closer, but made nigh in the sense of genuinely, not going generally, but explicitly nigh. Yes, Penny?
Like Romans 5:1. If I can remember it now, but how we
therefore,
we are justified by faith. No.
5:1. Therefore, be just under
faith. By faith, we have peace with God
through our Lord Jesus
Christ. Right.
So we're not at war anymore.
That's right. That's your name?
Paul.
Okay. So this made nigh, I believe it means. Close, not only close, but safe, part of the family of God.
Amen.
It's
part of that.
So,
yes,
the verse of the conjunction being alienated, being distant,
yes.
Totally outside.
Outside of Christ.
Being versus being made nigh inside.
Yes,
but alien, we're outside, and nigh, we're inside.
So, sorry for interrupting.
It's
comparable to the passage of the rich man and Lazarus who became part of the family, and then the wealthy man who didn't really care about anything except for the riches and didn't find faith. There was nothing wrong with the riches, but it's just the fact that he used that as his, that was all he looked for. So he didn't use the riches for God's glory, and it drove him far away. Lazarus was within the family and in the bosom of Abraham, as it also said.
All right, that verse number 13 is a very good verse. But on the other hand, contrary to all these other things, now in Christ Jesus. See, if they're in Christ, what does that mean to be in Christ? Any answer on that? What does it mean to be in Christ?
To die.
To have relationship with God.
Yes, Tammy.
We are now part of the body of Christ.
Part of the body of Christ. Genuine Christians, genuinely saved and redeemed. So what in Christ?
Fellow heirs of Christ.
Joint heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly right. So now.
And how? With Helen.
Made nine there by the blood of Christ. Yes, and
it's important to note after that word nigh, by, how is it? By the blood of Christ. Without the blood, there is nothing.
What are some people thinking about the blood of Christ? Any hands on that? what shall teach about the blood of Christ? It has in it. Questions at bfgdc.org, very classic, 261, 901, and her book, Mussolini. Yeah, I mean, 10.
The only thing that matters is that Christ died, because blood doesn't mean blood, it's a metonym for death.
And who teaches that? What name?
John MacArthur.
John MacArthur. He says, I don't care about the blood of Christ. He just died. This is death. No, what about the Old Testament sacrifice? What happened there?
The blood was sprinkled on the altar.
That's right. And the blood of Christ, that's the saving part, not simply a death. He could die. There'd be no salvation. Yes, Andrew?
Just a question of John MacArthur. When was that quoted from him? Was that years ago?
Yes, 10 years ago on Castle.
Well, maybe he doesn't stand on that anymore.
I'm sure he does.
Listen to him. He talks about the blood.
He talks about the blood, but he belittles the blood.
He belittles the blood.
He's not teaching of the death. Yeah.
Death is Christian. Death is Thanatos, and blood is Chyma. Two words, Greek words are confusing.
Actually, Thanatos is right. Yes. Emma is the word.
Well, that's the word.
Well, there's a problem with this whole concept, because if one looks in the book of Genesis and other passages that I'm just going to read from the Genesis, so Leviticus and the
is in the blood there, right?
Yes. So if you substitute blood for death in that verse, you say that the life of the flesh is in the death thereof, which makes absolutely no sense.
No sense at all. That's right.
Oh, what about Paul John McCormick?
Yes, sir.
If it was just by the death, then Christ isn't the one that died. It could have been anybody.
Yes, anyway.
Christ is the God-man.
He's the God-man, perfect God, perfect man. That's right.
Amen.
There is no remission of sin without the blood.
That's right, the blood.
That's right.
Without the shed of blood, there's no remission. That's right, no forgiveness. Nothing. So that's verse number 13, but the blood of Christ.
Yes.
Can we read 14 here?
No.
14, 15, and 16, then we're almost ready to close. 14.
For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between them and us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a queen, one new man, so making peace.
Is that three?
14. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby.
Okay, 14, 15. So, in verse 14, what's the title of the Lord Jesus here?
The Prince of Peace.
He is our peace. Who's the R referred to? Any hands on that? Antoinette?
Genuine believers.
Well, in this context, what it is.
In this context.
Jesus. And that's your hour is referring to Lord Jesus Christ.
Our people, who's exactly, what are they talking about these whole verses before?
The Gentiles.
And who else? That's all?
The Jews.
Right. See, we got the two people right there. Jews and Gentiles. The hour refers to both Jews and Gentiles.
Yeah, plurality.
Our people, not simply the Jews. The Gentiles ran on that, yes, sir.
It's a name for all the Jews and Gentiles. However, they don't actually obtain it until they actually trust.
Yes, exactly right. He's our peace, but until you accept him as your Savior, he's nobody's peace. You've got to trust him, and then he is our peace. Also, that's in verse number 14.
Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace, yes,
whether we believe it or not, that's who he is.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
Now notice in verse 14, who is the who referred to? Any hands on that? Who is the who referred to?
In what verse?
Verse 14.
Who?
He's our peace. Who?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. Has made both one. Who's the both? Yes, sir.
The Jews and the Gentiles. One new man.
And then what else is done? Broken down what?
partition.
The middle wall of partition. Because there was, before Christ made both one, they were fighting together, they were completely separate. Now, if they're in Christ, they're one, no longer two. They're in one. Now, that's 14. And then having three Adam.
Also, couldn't this be a reference to the temple, how there's like the court of the Gentiles, and so then the Gentiles couldn't get in?
Yes.
And
the Old Testament, they're clear, two different groups, not one at all. And in verse 15, what is also, was also true of what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary. Oh, pardon, let me ask you something.
This is an email from last week that I thought I read it here.
All right.
We're having some trouble with this time to open up. My pastor wants to say hello to you and all the church family. We're so glad Mrs. Waite is home from the hospital. We continue to lift up her in our prayers. Thank you very much for tonight's Bible study. His love, Carl and Vicki.
Let's read this way to Carl and Vicki Albert in the state of Maine, right?
Maine.
Maine, that's right. Hold
up there.
So in verse 15, what also did the Lord Jesus do? What is it? Verb that is here. And what does the verb mean? Ten?
He abolished.
And what would that mean?
He did away with it.
Completely did away with it. What did he do away with? And how did he do it?
He died, he took the sin of everyone on the cross, and he through his blood offers forgiveness for everyone else's sins, which the law provides a sacrifice for.
But what does it here? What is the law that does this here?
No, it's his grace.
It's his grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's
grace.
Abolished in his flesh the enmity. What enmity is talking about there?
Between the
Jews and the Gentiles. Between the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And the last part of verse 15. To make what and how between these two parties? To make what?
To make these two different groups, these circumcision, the Jews and the Gentiles, one new man.
Jews and Gentiles in Christ, that's one new body of Christ. And what is the effect of that in that verse number?
Peace.
Peace. Making peace. Peace between who?
Between the Jews and
the Gentiles. The Jews and the Gentiles. And in verse 16, also that he might do what?
Reconcile with unto God.
Okay, what does reconcile mean? Any hands on that?
It means to make right, to make amends, to make
true.
To bring together two warring parties.
Reconcile. We're completely apart. Now, reconcile means to bring together and make them together and make it one. Unity is very important. And reconcile, how? Making himself. In the wrong verse. It was
verse 16.
Reconcile both, Jew and Gentile. Under God. What else is it called now? Under this reconcile. The two of them are called what? In verse number 16.
One body.
Jew and Gentile. How?
By the cross.
Glory to God. The Lord Jesus Christ and the death of the cross of Calvary. Which were what? What were these two bodies? Jew and Gentile.
They were enemies.
Mm-hmm. What else in verse number? Well, that's 17.
Verse 16.
And thereby make one body, but then 17, I guess. Did we read 17?
No, we didn't finish with 16.
Let's start right here. We'll start at 17 next week.
We didn't finish 16.
No, that's the last phrase there. Oh, slang enmity there. What is enmity? Any hands on that? Enmity.
Animosity.
Hatred.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Why? Well, I'll start with 17. Do you have any other comments before we close?
By the cross, exactly.
By the cross of Calvary. Do you have any further comments on any verses before we close? Yes, Antoinette, and then John.
I thank God that Jesus
Yes.
God on the cross and shed his blood for us, so that we might have redemption and we're redeemed.
This is more time extra.
Yay.
Okay.
That was the way it's gone. Do you see?
Yes. And Randy and Emery.
Yay.
That's in the John MacArthur Bible, right?
But what version?
Thank you.
John
MacArthur
Bible.
Do you know the year?
What
year was that printed?
So it's 325
and Ephesians. What version of the Bible is he used? You know?
He uses the New
King. Okay.
And do you know what the date is for the printing of that Bible?
The date of that
Bible?
Yes.
I'm hoping he's had it
finished.
What was it?
This is the one I thought is MacArthur's Study Bible, 1997.
That's perfect.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Well, thank you very much, Anne-Marie.
We
appreciate
love
that very much. All this wave that I'm making.
We love you.
Yeah, the wave we can.
Thank you, too.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. God bless you all. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. This wave's in the hall. Okay.
In
so there's a 1997.
Wow.
No blood. Well, he's a heretic on that.
I didn't know that.
He may have other things that I can agree with.
He teaches other things that are.
I have got about five heresies in essence. I don't remember all five, but I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, any other comments before we.
I just wonder if the New King James has the word blood in Romans 3:25 or not.
Probably it does.
I think she read it. I think she did say
blood.
I think she must have read it out of that Bible, not
no,
out of the
King.
She
felt
she was.
Maybe that was common on that verse. I don't know.
I think she was reading it.
She was literally reading it.
The verse from the King James.
I
had one, but she pretty much stuck on it.
No, I was going to say John had one.
Yeah, it's about, you know, there's nowhere that it says it's by death. It's by the blood.
Well, here's Randy, Henry's husband.
Yeah.
From Canada.
Randy.
Yes, Randy, go right ahead. Oh, my Henry, I'm sorry.
Randy talked to you.
Okay, that's all
right. He's sitting right here. Yes, I was reading word for word out of his New King James.
I thought so, Henry.
I was comparing what he has in the text to his own notes.
Oh, my. So the New Field Angle is off the book.
He's right. Everything was right from his Bible. So the blood is in the verse.
Oh, I see.
Just
that's
a violent death.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Thanks for calling.
We really learned a lot. Thank you. Okay. Any other comments before we close tonight?
The teaching is the death.
That's not wrong to close your word first.
Yes. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you and pray for the study tonight, Lord. We know that. You know, as your word tells us, it is by the blood of Jesus Christ, and only by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we have salvation, Lord. And our sins are, as it says in I think it's Isaiah 1:18, that your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.